All urban sideshow obits aside, there was no need yet to dress the Muse brothers up in costume. Being black with white skin was still different enough, especially in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where the newspaper described them simply as, quote, monkey-faced men. As another freak show historian described the spiel, let me tell you about these other two strange creatures you see before you. Very strange indeed. Not only are they from the heart of deepest Africa, they are albinos, weird creatures in whom normal pigmentation does not exist. In fact, this is why we were able to bring them to you today. They were rejected by their fellow tribesmen because of this strange condition.
Beth, this was the first story you first heard about, what, several decades ago? These two albino African-American brothers, George and Willie Muse, kidnapped and displayed as circus freaks, and their mom, Harriet, who struggled to find them. Talk about that. Somebody kind of turn you on to this story, and it's been a couple of decades in the making, correct?
Sure. I was a young reporter when I moved to Roanoke in 1989, and I was driving around with photographer Don Peterson one day, and he said he told me about the brothers and that they had been kidnapped from a Franklin County tobacco field, and he said, and sold to the circus. And what Don said that got my attention was, he said, it's the best story in town, but nobody's been able to get it. And of course, I'm just competitive enough that initially I thought, oh, well, I can get it. But alas, it was much trickier to get than I had thought.
And you actually wrote about it first in the Roanoke Times, correct, before it became a book?
Yeah, so I waltz into the Goody Shop, which was this famous, locally famous soul food restaurant on Melrose Avenue, and this was the early 90s at this point, and I had been led there by Don because he told me that the owner, Nancy Saunders, was the brother's great niece, and she was Willie Muse's caregiver in late life. George Muse died in the early 70s. Willie lived to be 108, didn't pass away till 2001. And so when I first waltzed into the Goody Shop asking Nancy, probably telling her that she should let me write a story about her famous great uncles, she pointed to a sign on the wall that a customer had made for her in stenciled black letters on whiteboard. And the sign said, "Sit down and shut up."
Well, you, in that fact, you were researching the book, but they wouldn't let you meet Willie, correct?
Yes. She said she wouldn't let me even write an article about him. She reluctantly agreed to let me write a food feature. People who read the Roanoke Times in the 90s might recall that I used to write food features pretty regularly. And so I begged to do the food story, thinking that she would like it so much that certainly it would butter her up and she would let me interview her uncle, but alas, she said, no, he's resting. He's been exploited his whole life, and you and no one like you is going to ever get to talk to him. But she did say that after he passed away, she would let me write the story.
And what's interesting, we're talking with Beth Macy, the author of True Vine, Two Brothers, A Kidnapping and a Mother's Quest, a true story of the Jim Crow South, that you talked to, Beth, over the years, all kinds of people, relatives and, I guess, friends of the Muses and Harriet and everybody. It was sort of like piecing a detective story together.
Yeah, it really was. So the family, when their mother got them back in 1927, the family lived in the west end of Roanoke in a little micro neighborhood, called Jordan's Alley, which is near Jerusalem Baptist Church. And I spent a lot of time trying to bring that world to life, what that was like in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, because the story naturally begs the question: was their life with the circus better or worse than it would have been back home under Jim Crow laws? And Roanoke was a really tough place for African-Americans to be.
Yeah, and I sort of pick up a vibe from the book that Roanoke doesn't always come across in the greatest light. You've got, you know, Jim Crow, segregation. You've got some, at one point, very lax housing inspection laws. But Roanoke was a tough place if you were African-American.
Definitely, as it was across the South. But in most cities in the South, the Commonwealth's attorney wasn't also the founder of the local KKK, which was the largest in the state. So Roanoke had that going for it. And in fact, when Harriet Muse finally found her long-lost sons, they were performing in Roanoke with Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. They were performing at the fairgrounds, which would eventually be the site of Victory Stadium, now some soccer fields. But the KKK had just rallied there months earlier. Mm-hmm. And it was almost suicidally bold of her to go down there and to demand to get them back.
So Harriet gets them back, and eventually, though, they wind up going back, I guess, of their own free will, and she makes sure that they get paid, and she's really an advocate for them the whole rest of the time that they're performing.
until her death in 1942. And she had to be, because any time the circus could get away or their manager could get away with not paying them, he would. So often he would, like, Ringling started paying them after the initial lawsuit that she filed in 1928 when she got him back. And then the manager just simply, it was called blowing the show. He took him to another circus, and so he could continue pocketing their wages. And by that point, he would be across the country, some other location. The family wouldn't know where they were, and they would just have to accept it. Except for, he really didn't trifle with Harriet Muse, I learned. In 1936, she gets another lawyer involved. And she gets a legal guardianship installed so that whenever the circus doesn't pay, there's a system in place that these two local characters go out and track them down, make the circus pay, or threaten to bring them home. And so that was sort of interesting to piece together, too. That was a lot of what I did in Jordan's Alley, riding around with older people who remembered these two men. One was a lawyer. The other was a African-American bail bondsman. And they were able to sort of put the pieces together for me. And it was a great mystery.
So where was Truvine? Was that the Franklin County homestead where they were originally, or was that part of Roanoke?
Truvine is a little unincorporated crossroads in Franklin County. It is not far from Sontag and Glade Hill, and it was very much a tobacco growing community, still is largely. But back in the Muse brothers' childhood, it was largely sharecropping.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Beth Macy again, the author of Truvine. They went back on tour. They were billed as ambassadors from Mars, as sheep-headed freaks, from the wilds of the jungle. But then they wound up, later in life, Beth, performing for British royals. They wound up at Madison Square Garden. So quite a juxtaposition.
Yeah, they performed all over the world. Some African-Americans who lived in Rugby and were their neighbors in later life said they were the first black folks we ever knew to ride on an airplane.
And they were excellent musicians as well.
They were incredible musicians by all accounts. And one of the things that bothered me a lot about this story is when Harriet got them back in 1927, the media never, ever interviewed the family about the story. So the story was always told from the circus manager's point of view. And so a lot of stuff was left out, like the trafficking of them and the way they were treated. But one thing in the later accounts of them, once they were back with the circus of their own choice and they were eventually being paid, everyone talked about how wonderful musicians they were. It was said that they could hear a song one time and play it on multiple instruments.
Hmm. Before I let you go, I want you to talk about the circus. I mean, they were in these circuses and freak shows, but talk about how big the circus was. In light of the fact that Ringling Brothers is now going out of business after 140-something years, talk about, Beth, how big the circus was in the old days as a form of entertainment.
Yeah, it's hard to get your head around now because it's just not something we think about much. But between 1840 and 1940, the circus was the dominant form of entertainment in all of America and in many other countries too. But these were like mobile cities that moved by night on train. And what you would do is you would, people didn't go on vacation back then. They would hoard their pennies and wait for the one day of the year when the circus came to town. It was said that the circus day, they called it Circus Day. It was said that Circus Day was only second to Christmas Day in the importance to the average American.
Also, another reason why it was so hard to track the Muse brothers down is that they were always on the move, correct?
Yeah, they were all over.
What do you want people to come away with when they read Truvine? Is it a sad story, a cautionary tale, a glimpse at the past that may never happen again? But what do you want people to come away with?
Well, it is a sad story and it is a cautionary tale, but I think it's also a story of great triumph. People said it's so different from Factory Man. Well, it really isn't, because they're both about these gritty, rural, larger-than-life people who are underestimated. Granted, one is a multimillionaire at birth, the other is an illiterate maid, very impoverished. But I think it's always a great story when somebody does the unexpected thing and prevails. And so what I hope people come away with is just a mother's love, a universal story, and a real history of what life was like in Jim Crow, which I think we all know about separate schools and separate water fountains, but to really kind of explore in depth these daily indignities that these families lived under, not just the Muse families, but all of their neighbors, you get a real new appreciation for what black people lived through and survived.
Hmm. Beth Macy is the author of True Vine, Two Brothers, A Kidnapping and a Mother's Quest, a true story of the Jim Crow South. And Beth, thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate it, Gene. It's great to be back.
All right.